Hey, here we are live with Underhood Show. Mel Hamilton Ford, excited. Hey, Josh, the door's open still, too.
I got it.
You got it?
I'm okay. On this side. I'll get it.
Yeah, if you can't tell, we're trying to have a little fun here today. Yeah, I hope everybody... What's everybody think of the new... What do you call that screen again? Virtual background. What's everybody think of that virtual background? Here comes Josh, the ghost just showed up from that part. So, hey, love to hear what you think of the virtual background again this week. It's the only show I know you get paid to call in on. 316-462-3673 down in the bottom of the screen. Tell you anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries. Josh, don't put your hands up either because Gus gets mad at that
too. Okay,
gotcha. Right? So don't do that either. So, hey, want to hear from you today. Want to answer your questions. Want to give away a great price back. He's about over $130 for each and every caller. And only show I know you get paid to call in on, and it's anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries. And as always, Josh, what's in that package for each and every caller?
So we're going to mail it out to you, but it's going to consist of the works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford. While we're performing that, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components on that vehicle, making sure that it's geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. You'll also receive yourself $10 to Mel's Diner, so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner. Complete nitrogen for your tires to get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer. And then a BG products package, which consists of a can of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then CF5 for your fuel system. Again, just getting that vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving.
All right, 316-462-3673. Love to hear from you. Call the number on the bottom of the screen there. It comes right to the front desk. The gals, tell me when we get past the podcast, we'll get you on here. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, anything in the automobile world, anything about new products whatsoever, love to hear from you. 316-462-3673. Anyway, Josh was out playing last week and missed. Uh-oh, did you get in trouble?
Yeah. I was told I'm on the edge.
you're getting reprimanded.
That's okay. Here I am.
I'm going to get the whip out on you here in just a second. So anyway, Josh was out playing last week. We had a great... Josh, you missed it, boy.
This is, I don't know.
This is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, this whole right-left thing is...
It's weird.
Is getting me. So, yes, I did see some of the show or watch show. Yeah. It looked like that went really, really well.
Well, I think it's more than anything. It's just to show the products. And I mean, there's all kinds of additives and products out there in the marketplace to do today. And, you know, there might be some that catch up to BG. I don't know. I haven't found anything yet that does. But sure did love what Dale had to show us last week of basically how engines have changed, the lubrications have changed, and then what MOA really does. And that's the thing I didn't realize. I mean, I'll say it again. I realized that BG with their MOA, you take a 5,000 mile oil change and about 2,500 miles, the oil starts breaking down. And I thought MOA just kept that additive package to where it kept lubricating 100% through the whole 5,000 miles. But then kind of find out it's also, I know there's all kinds of chemicals, brings chemicals, but the acid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still don't know if I got enough guts to pour that acid in my hand. But neutralizing that acid was really incredible for what that does. And, well, you know what acid does to anything. It eats away metals and everything else, too. So it's not just keep that oil package there together. It's breaking down that acid. And it was neat to see that. And I love showing he brought in the old-style cast iron piston rings that I used to. Man, I can't tell you those things I put on. I used to cut my hands on them, everything else like that. It'd be blood down inside the cylinder. It'd wash out. It'd be all right. And now to the low friction rings we have today and how that carbon builds up behind them and everything. It was a fun show. We're going to bring him back on some more stuff. And I think the next thing is we're going to do a fuel induction demonstration when he wants to come back and show how that carbon builds up in the intake and cleans that all out of there and stuff too. So, we'll see what happens. And it says, I have not seen my price package yet, Josh, from Jeremy Kane. We'll have to figure out what's going on with that. Jeremy, sorry about that.
Yeah, I'll check into that with me being gone the last week. I was a week behind, but I did get those out here this week. So I will I'll verify that it got sent out to you and make sure that it got mailed out and all that stuff for you. So
anyway, So let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. And you got some questions about last week's show on BG products and everything they do. I tell you, like I said, everybody, I've been using them since the mid 80s. And I did a lot of cleaning injectors back in the day with that stuff. And, you know, Josh, I got a Trans Am back again. So we have to figure that out, how we can clean them injectors on that baby. But it's over at BG right now. And they're going through the stuff with it. So it'll be fun to talk about that when it comes back, what all they did, and because they're going to dyno it, put it up, and run all the stuff through it. And then we'll get some test results we can talk about in a few future shows and stuff too from that part. So
yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see if they're going to go through and do like bore scopes and see pictures of kind of what that looks like. And
I told them, take their time. Don't need it any hurry and everything else too. They're excited to try it too and stuff too. So again, can't thank BG enough for the partnership here at Mel Hamilton Ford and also everything they do. But if you're not putting BG products in your car, you're taking a lot of life out of your miles of your car. And, you know, Scott even kind of summed it up last week too, is it's again, what we talk about, you know, I say the owner's manual has your minimum amount of that you need to do to it. But like Scotty said, if you want it to run many, many miles, there's nothing better to put in there to keep your engine clean, keep your transmission clean, everything from that part. So,
So I got a question that I was going to ask the viewers and make this maybe kind of a three-part deal is what, taking a road trip, what's the furthest road trip that you've taken? Would be one question. Then to add that, to kind of add on that, what's the furthest road trip that you would want to take and where? But then when do you decide, okay, I'm not going to drive, I'm going to fly. And then what's the coolest thing that you've taken a road trip in?
Coolest or funnest?
Well, either or.
Either or?
Yeah, either or.
I'm racking my brain the furthest I've drove somewhere.
So I, it's been many years ago. I don't know, maybe 15, 14, something like that. We drove, I bought a boat.
Uh-oh. You know what the best 2 days of a boat is, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So far, I'm still happy, I guess I have this one, but it was in L.A.,
Oh man, you drove out there?
I did.
How long?
I couldn't even remember, but I left and here's the thing, it was kind of stupid what I did, but the boys were really young. I left here, I think on either a Thursday or a Friday night, drove straight out there.
How long?
It was like a 24-hour drive. It was a long way.
Oh.
Straight out there, hooked onto this thing.
They have these services and stuff. They can pick that stuff up and bring it to you.
Well, but okay. Seeing it online, not sure what you're getting.
I got a couple of those kind of things I can talk about too.
All that. Oh, sorry. Hands down. Anyways.
Yeah, hands down. You're going to get in trouble. Gus is going to come through the screen and slap you.
So I drove out there. And the reason this specific boat had a larger engine in it than what the same models of it anywhere else.
Yeah.
So drove out there, got it. And then I was trying to get Doug sent through here because my story can wait. But
Doug's coming on. We got a caller coming in here, do we? And I said, it's going to be jacked up. And I got to run this side of the board. Whose idea was for me to set over
I don't
here?
Know. We'll do this till we know Doug's coming through here. But
look at you reaching across. You get careful.
I'm sorry.
Hands over. You're going to grip the camera. Gonna
so
slap again.
Drove out there, online, and then naturally, boat trailers or trailers in general, the tires on. Should answer here. So he is on. So let's go to the line. Let's talk to Doug. Go ahead and
Doug, you're live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Perfect.
We're a little backwards today, but other than that, doing good.
Well, that's all right. It happened. Hey, listen, I've got a 2005 Toyota Camry that I'm starting to notice when I apply the brakes. There's a little bit of pulsating on the brake that I'm feeling. I just want to know what I'm assuming that it could be rotors or pads or something like that.
Yeah, what you probably have going on there is a warp in your rotors, whether it's front or rear. That would be or could be all of them from that side of it. But what a lot of times what happens is those rotors will get hot, and then like you drive through a rain puddle and they cool down real quick, or just over wear over time.
Normal wear too.
Normal wear will do it as well. And what's crazy is, you know, we pick up and deliver a lot of cars around here, and I don't know how many vehicles that I've got in that I pick up on it instantly, but as a consumer that drives that vehicle every day, it just kind of gets worse over time. And so you really don't notice it until it gets to kind of an extreme situation. But there's a couple of different ways to fix that. One, I would wonder what the condition of the brakes is anyways, as far as pad life and stuff like that. And so we can go in and machine the rotors. And then a lot of times, you know, that's a good time to evaluate the brakes as well and see where your pad life is, and whether it's time for a new set of brake pads as well. And then so on those rotors, there is a minimum discard thickness, because essentially what you're doing is going in there and you're shaving off a portion of the face of that rotor just to make it then true again, so it's not warped. And every time you do that, you're taking material off of there, so you're making that rotor thinner and thinner and thinner, which then allows it to build up heat more faster from that side. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword when you go in and machine that. You just want to make sure that you're taking just the minimum amount that you can, but also you want to make sure that you're paying attention to what the discard thickness is of that rotor and getting them replaced before you hit that minimum discard thickness.
You don't want them too thin, because of the heat, then it can't dissipate the heat and could possibly break if they're too thin too from that part. But I tell you what, Doug, what we need to do, we need to add a diagnostic on your package. I shouldn't say diagnostic, we call it an inspection package. I guess instead of diagnostic, but we'll inspect those brakes, get you an idea of what, if your pads do need to replace. And I'm going to tell you, if they're more than half worn out, I would replace them the same time I'd fix these rotors, and we can measure those rotors and see if they're too thin or thick. But we also need to decide too, is it front or rear? When you feel a pulsation, are you feeling the pedal, or are you feeling in the steering wheel, or are you feeling in the kind of the back of the car? Or
I feel it more in the pedal.
More in the pedal. So it could be either front or rear. It's hard to tell. We'll have to do some testing and stuff on that, kind of see what you got there too. So, Doug, we're going to add that process. So we'll inspect those brakes at no charge, look at it for you, measure the rotor, see what kind of thickness we have on them, and then check and see how much lining's left on your pads, and make a good judgment call what we can do to get that pulsation out of there and get you some, make sure the brakes are safe for you, buddy.
Great. Thank you so much. Enjoy the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call. Okay, got some chat lines rolling in here.
Yeah, we did. We should have asked Doug about his road trip story.
Ah, dang it.
What the heck? So, yeah, let's
Jason Cox, 4 years ago, wife went and rented a tourist show. Yeah, you know, think about that for a minute. Those things were pretty fast back in the day.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, I mean, that's, you get a lot of that stories of back in the day. This was really cool and had a lot of power and stuff like that.
Now,
and
then, see, Jason's over there saying he doesn't want to say how fast he had it up to. Me, I'd tell you how fast
I was going
to
say. Yeah, I went this fast because that's all the faster it would go.
All right, what's so Tim Daniel up to?
We got Jeremy says he's South Florida.
Oh, I messed up
to get
Jeremy.
Cattle.
Yeah, it's not, it's a long trip.
Yeah,
too.
And cattle too. That's hauling those. you gotta abide by some rules doing that. So I gotta go down there and get my vehicle looked at, fixed before it gets worse. Yeah.
What's Tim Daniels? Just put him up on the screen. I'm about 1,700 miles into this trip, with about 1,240 more to go to get home. Kansas, Missouri, Tennessee, Georgia, South. Oh, he went back to Virginia, didn't he? I have the best private transportation, top of the line King Ranch. So he's trying to get after he's trying to bite back at somebody on that deal. Top of the line King Ranch.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
See that, Tim? Hope you're having a safe drive and stuff. So it looks like you got 1,240 more to go, about halfway, a little over halfway. So hope that top of the line King Ranch is taking care of you and everything
else.
Get
you where you need to go.
So I don't see the rebuttal coming yet, but I'm sure it's coming.
Jason said it was over 90 in the tour show.
Jason.
No, it said it was over 90.
I know, but
yeah.
Is it over 100, Jason?
Just 90.
Just 90. 91, right?
I think what they say there is the statute of limitations in that
incident
has not expired.
You don't need to worry about that anymore. It's gone. You don't need to worry about anybody ratting you out or anything else from that part. We can handle you and take care of you. Now, Josh, I'm trying to get the phone number back up there.
So let's go.
Oh,
there you go.
There it is. There it is.
Just like that. Oh, hands down.
Yeah, hands down.
You're gonna get chat again. So I find this boat online and I think,
you're back over your road trip now. Yeah. Oh, well, we got some more chat lines coming up.
Oh, do we? Okay. It was probably in reverse.
No, it wasn't in reverse. Not real.
Yeah.
Ricky Bobby is not real. He doesn't go fast like that in reverse. Now, hey, did you watch the race Sunday?
I did not. Yeah, I missed it.
I was getting roasted so bad Sunday because Kyle Busch spun it out and he's backing down pit road. Yes, he backed her down pit road. So, yeah. And that's real.
That's but twice Ricky Bobby's now done. Somebody was backing up.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Those are called signs.
Trust me, as soon as I seen him backing up, I just waited to get started.
It was you thought the texts were coming.
You went into the text. It was my own
your own family.
Yeah. Oh my
God. I'm still mad at your daughter, and I haven't even talked to her about it yet either. I meant to call her.
Yeah.
About not taking the time to.
Oh yeah, she didn't know. Yeah. We had to watch something else.
So
I still need to sit down instead of sitting in Jake's truck for 2.5 hours watching that movie because, leaning over and missing some stuff. So I'll probably have to sit down and watch it again. Much as I hate to say, I'm going to have to watch it again. So anyway, especially cattle that haven't been in anything but gators.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything but gators. They want to run over. They're gone.
Yeah. Okay, so finish up your trip to.
Well, no, that was just getting there. Yeah, that was just
getting there. I got an F word on the when I think about that.
So
bad. 48 hours to go get a boat.
Yeah. So find it online. Like, okay, this is what I'm after. And how everybody takes care of trailers, right? So
I'm thinking blowouts on the way back.
Well, I'm thinking on the way when I'm going, I'm going to take tires and stuff with me. Well, I look up from the pictures, look at the tire size on. It's really odd. Tire size. So I couldn't get wheels and tires. A lot of trailer tires, they have them pre-mounted and everything like that. So I just got, and I didn't know what the lug pattern was. So I just took 4 brand new tires with me. And then I took jack and impact, all that stuff.
I'd have taken 8 tires.
Yeah. All sorts of stuff to make sure that if I had any issues with a wheel bearing or lights or anything like that, that I could get it squared away. So I tell
not a call a wrecker, is that what you're trying to say?
I told that's exactly right. I call or tell my wife, I was like, hey, I'm gonna go, I'm driving straight out there, I'm getting this thing.
And she didn't go with you, did she?
I'm driving straight back. I said, you guys can go if you want, but I said, I'm not stopping. I'm doing this. And she's like, all right, we'll go. So her and my 2 boys went.
Oh no.
And at the time, they were, I would guess, I don't know, 2 and 5 maybe.
What did you give them to settle them down?
honestly, out of those 2 kids, they throw them in the back of a car and they were perfectly happy. Absolutely no problem. So drove all the way out there, get the boat, hook onto it. We're heading back home. And I didn't make it from, it was almost exactly at the state line between California and Arizona, and had a blowout.
You mean you didn't inspect it before you took off?
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, I did. And it was they were fine, but they were just the age of the tire and then the heat.
The heat just built up.
Uh-huh.
Everything. I seen that on Kellogg the other day. Guys pulling a boat down and tire just shredded everywhere.
So now this is it was either Saturday night or Sunday night about 6 o'clock, and I'm thinking, where in the world am I going to find some place to have this tire mounted up here, because I had the tire, I just needed it mounted on the spare wheel. So I unhooked the.
You didn't take any tire tools with you?
Yeah, I had it. So I took the tire off the trailer, and then I unhooked the trailer from the truck off and right on the side of the highway, and loaded everything up in the truck. And there was a town just a couple miles down the road, had a tire shop that was closing in 5 minutes. just like everything. So I get it all unhooked, get the tire in the truck. And I go to pull away and I take off, and the boys look back behind us and seen that boat sitting on the side of the road. They were pissed. Dad, you can't leave it. Somebody's going to steal it. You can't. Yeah. There, I got 24 hours of riding in this car seat invested in getting that thing, and you're just going to leave it on the side of the road for somebody to take. Oh, my God. They just blew their mind that you I was just going to leave it on the side of the road like that.
Couldn't you take in the tire? Is it a four, one single it, axle? Or
so it was, but the way the trailer was, the spring, leaf spring, has a like a slide deal, so it was attached to the front. So if there's not load on one, the other one, it forces the axle up into the fender of the trailer, which is the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah,
but right. they do it so it divides the load.
Okay, yeah, well, I get what you're saying.
So could have just drove it flat all the way, or the other option was, and it was only a couple miles. I wasn't really too worried about it by any
means. So you didn't lose your boat though.
Didn't lose a boat. All we right. went and got the tire changed. Before they closed, like, I don't know. It was, all the stars aligned that day.
For once.
So, hooked onto it, drove it the rest of the way back. Going through, it was some part of Arizona, up kind of in the altitude and stuff like that. And it was late at night by that time. And I swear, I'm like, man, I could have swore I just seen a elk. And then by that time, I was relatively droggy.
You were a little delirious, yeah. Is what that was.
No. So I was like, Lisa. Well, I had woke her up, and I was like, am I seeing this? And yeah, sure enough, it was. So we drove all the way out there, turned around, drove all the way back. And it was other than just the length of time that it took to do it, it was a really good trip. I really wish I would have took more time. And, you know, thinking about hauling that boat through back with all those nice lakes and stuff along the way back and hitting some of those lakes. Cause
hey, you could have, yeah,
should have done something like that now, but I'll never forget going straight there and turn around and coming straight back for sure.
48 hours. No, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It was a long trip, two kids under five. And, they were took it like champs for sure. So,
okay, 316-462-3673. Let's hear where your longest trip is. Looks like Jeremy went down to South Florida to pick up some cattle. Not sure, Jeremy, how long a trip that was. Can you beat the 48 hours? I don't know.
And then I've always thought driving to Alaska, I always thought would be really cool. But I'd want to take a lot of time.
I think I'll fly up there and then drive around.
Think so?
Yeah.
No interest in doing
road tripping. No, not really. No. No, because all I'm going to do is get there as fast as I can, probably pick up two speeding tickets on the way.
Yeah, going up there. I don't know. There's some of that country up there that there's okay, no.
Jeremy said 28 hours.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
There's some of that country up there that there's no posted speed limits.
Yeah, but what's the road conditions like? Okay, there you answer that one. Not sure how fast you want to go on the roads.
That's why they don't have to post the speed limit signs.
Yeah, you know you're not going to go very fast.
You can't go fast enough. So
yeah, exactly. So, all right, 316-462-3673. Let's hear your longest road trip. Fairbanks,
Alaska.
Alaska to Lyons, Kansas. Along the trip took him 3 days. So how many days did it really take you? Did you do it?
We went out there. It was about 3 days because a day out there, day back, and then it was about half a day. By the time I did all the paperwork and when we got there, we took the boat out on the water and just made sure everything worked and all that stuff. And so it was a fast trip. That's for sure.
It might've been a fast trip, but damn.
They have services for that, right?
That's what I'm telling you. They got somebody who can go get that thing.
So what's
you could have gotten a plane, flew after, checked it out, made sure, all right, hold it off.
Oh, this was, I think this was even previous to that.
Previous to what?
Even any flying or anything like that.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah.
So
what road trips, Colorado, you always went to Colorado.
Oh, I did a lot of Colorado trips. Well, there's a few other trips I probably can't talk about on here.
Statue of limitations hadn't run out on that yet.
Well, I don't know. I was just letting some of that out of there or whatever. I was in Topeka and my little sister called me and said, hey, there's some party and can you inspect my car and make sure it's good to go to Colorado? And I thought, you know what? That doesn't make much sense. A couple of young college girls her colleague were jumping in the car and going out there. So I said, you know what?
I'll take you.
I did.
I'll jump on that grenade.
I did. So there was four of us in my Grand Prix. I had an 85 Grand Prix at the time. And we took off on a Friday night and drove. And they, you know, back before you had to get maps on, we couldn't find this party they wanted. We drove out there to get to that party that she wanted to go to, whatever. Couldn't find it. Drove around everywhere. So then we tried to find somewhere to just get a hotel room. Couldn't find anything open. Couldn't find anything, nothing that would help us, all that kind of stuff. We were flat out delirious. We actually stopped in a parking lot. Crack.
Slept for a little bit.
We were so dang delirious. But, you know, drove out there. On the way back, we did have a blast coming back. I will tell you that. Because we took our time, everything else from that part. But we never did find that part. I think it was called a mall crawl or something.
Oh, you never got to the party?
No, never found a damn thing. Heck no. No, but Jenna wanted me to inspect her car, make sure to make it be safe. And I think, you know, that thing you're driving, I wouldn't drive that thing to Colorado. I don't remember what that thing was either she had. But I said, nah, you're not going. I'm going to take you. And there were four of us piled in my Grand Prix. We took off and we flew out there pretty fast. I will tell you that.
Made it out there pretty quick.
Yeah, but man, we were tired, worn out because we'd worked all day and got in the car on Friday night, went out there, and it was like 2 a.m. we got there and everything else. So anyway, anybody else got some long road trips, everything else from that part, 316-462-3673, or throw it in a chat line. We get that. And we don't go in reverse to the on the in the deal either, Timothy.
I'll tell you, I had another one when I was this was pretty well high school. Had my uncle had a Chevy van, the presidential edition, huh?
Oh yeah. Looky so there.
It was an 84. It had you know, captain's chairs, and then there was a had the couch in the back that folded down into a bed or whatever. And it was me, Lisa, and her mom and dad, and we went out there to see her brother lived out there. Anyways, for whatever reason, going out there, left again after work and stuff like that, got to the state line. And I mean, it was right on the Kansas Colorado state line. I'll never forget it. We were following a U-Haul, like a FedEx box or U-Haul box trucks. Yeah. And we hit that state line. And I mean, it was right at the state line. And just a sheet of ice went from something to nothing, or, you know, some nothing to just a sheet of ice. And as soon as we hit that state line, that thing spun out and there was packages everywhere. Still to this day, still to this day, somebody's waiting on a package that's on the side of that deal. So from the state line all the way to Denver, it was like a 30 mile an hour deal. Took forever to get there. Made it there, got it there safe. Spent some time in Denver. Then we went and seen down in Colorado Springs. But then we went down to the Royal Gorge. And when we were headed to the Royal Gorge, it's a two lane deal, and I'm in the faster lane. And there was a rock truck, hauling rock truck, in the other lane. And there's like a convenience store up here on the left hand side. And I don't know if he didn't know I wasn't there or what, but he was headed to that convenience store. So he just turns on his turn signal and starts heading over. And I'm in that lane. Well, there's a median wall there that's probably, I don't know, a foot and a half there. And like he hit me, and then I kind of drove up over that median to avoid from really having an accident. So it toasted the whole passenger side of the van, drove up over the median deal. And when that happened, so now I'm in the oncoming traffic.
Oh, mercy.
And that guy's not stopping. He takes off. Well, the van seems like everything's okay. And so I went after him.
Sure. Yeah, I would have too.
Well, Lisa's dad was a sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
At the time. And so, yeah, that guy wasn't going to stop at all. So we went after him, and I got up beside him, and Roger flashed his badge at him. And I think at that point he knew he was done.
He was done busting.
So he pulls over, and then we pull over and, you know, called the police, and they come out to work the accident. And I remember vividly that officer that was up there says, hey, you guys are good to go, but I'm going to be a little while with this guy.
Yeah, I bet he was too.
But he didn't have a license, CDL license, and some other stuff. So we go to the Royal Gorge, and we're there for quite a while, and then come back, and that officer is still on the side of the road. I bet we were there for probably 3 hours and he was still on the side of the road with that guy. And they had a truck to pull it out of there.
He got a ticket or two, didn't he?
Yeah. So anyways, I had all that happen. Well, the next day we start heading back home. This is on a Sunday and we're, we come through, we came back 50 highway instead of 70. And there's just a lot of little towns and stuff 50, like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was somewhere, I don't even remember where, but somewhere in Kansas, just all of a sudden, man, just a heck of a growling started happening. Well, what had happened was the bearings in the hub assembly from jumping that curb.
Oh, yeah.
Jacked up. And again, Sunday afternoon, happened to go to a little town, Napa, had tools for it, got wheel bearing for the thing and studs and lug nuts and all that stuff, and was able to fix the thing up and roll on down the road. But I just think, man, if that would have been, there's so many different places could have been out in the middle of nowhere and that happened and you just would have been SOL, but that's called good, just clean living.
That's what you sun in 70.
Yeah.
Sunny 70. James Furman. When I was a kid, we took a road trip to White Salmon, Washington. I think it took 2 or 3 days. Beautiful little border towns of Washington and Oregon. Yeah, here it is, kind of beautiful up there and stuff too. Never been there. I've never been to Washington. Never been to Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to...
Tell I'm a little upset about it too.
Oh, good gosh.
Good gosh. So anyway, any more long road trips, anything? Hey, we got to get some calls going. 316-462-3673. Love to hear from anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, whatever it might be. Anything in automobile world. Hey, let's get it fired up. Hey, Josh, you see what's sitting on the showroom floor?
The 24 Ranger.
24 Ranger. We finally got one. I can't believe it. It's finally here. Of course, it took a long delay because that was one of the first plants that went on strike. Of course, they were in the middle of a changeover from the 23 to the 24 model year. And the 24 model year truck is a complete new truck, not one part carried over from the 23. So it is sitting here in the showroom for just a couple more days. We talked to the gentleman that ordered this truck and asked him if he'd leave it with us for a few days. And he was kind and gracious enough to leave it. So if you want to check it out, can't drive it, you can set it and do whatever you want. But you want to check out the new 24 Ranger, bigger, better, nice bigger screen in it and everything else too. So if you want to check it out, come out and check that from that part too. So
what color is that?
Hot pepper red.
Is it still, it looked like it maybe had just a little bit of a different tint to it. But.
Yeah, I don't know, but it is a hot pepper red. It is an STX package. It's not the base model, but even nicely equipped as well as it is. 34 grand truck.
I was going to, so I didn't see the window sticker on it.
34.7, I think, something like that from that part. But, I mean, the room's inside of it. You know, it's not an F-150, of course, but it is a nice compact truck that's looks good. The body lines look good. The front looks good. Not a big fan probably of the tire on it, if you know from that part. But, I mean, the rim that's on it because of that. But other than that, it's a nice truck. So if you want to check that out before it leaves here, I think it's leaving on Tuesday. Okay. So if you want to come out and look at it, check it out, whatever, I'd love to hear from you. Anyway, we got a caller coming on. Who's coming up, Josh?
We do. We got Daryl on the line. Daryl, you're on live with Under the Hood.
Yes. This is probably a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway.
That's all right.
I have heard some people say that running a car wash through a car wash is hard on a car's finish. I cannot hardly believe this is true. I just wondered what your guy's opinion on this was.
Well, I'm going to start off with, you know, we have some drive-through car washes here at the dealership that have the right material on it, I guess you would say, that it doesn't do that. Now, older car washes, I agree. Some of those older ones, they had all that spinning wheel spinning around and you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I do think those were kind of hard on your finishes today. But the technology we have today with these new ones, I don't think it hurts it a bit.
But. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different variables that go into that. You know, I would say, first of all, is how dirty is the vehicle going into it? You know, if you have a lot of dirt and grime and debris on the vehicle and it goes into a brush car wash, that stuff goes somewhere. But then secondly is how maintained or how well kept up is the car wash? So are they cleaning their brushes out regularly? You know, things like that would be another variable that I would say to that. Ours does a relatively good job in the spec of, you know, it's not it does have the brushes, but for the most part, it's using chemicals and things like that to clean the vehicle.
Well, what I love about ours is ours comes through, you drive into the car wash, and it takes a laser,
a 3D image of,
the car. So it knows whether you got a little small car in there or you got a big truck going in there, and it adjusts the tension of the arms to know where to go over that vehicle to put the right amount of tension and not too less, not too much on that vehicle. Because if you got to think about a car worship, how would you make it work if you had a big truck versus a little car? But that's what I love about ours. It takes that image and then it knows where to, how to program the brushes to go across and clean your car. And I'm telling you, when I come out of there, you know, there's still a little bit of water on and stuff like that too. But as soon as you go, it's spot free. I mean, it doesn't leave anything on that car whatsoever. It's a great drive through car wash we have. And Josh, we're already into our lease on it, and we got to start figuring out what we're going to do with those and whether we're going to keep those or get some new ones. I would love to see what it's going to take, get some new ones and replace them and keep the best technology we can for cleaning these cars the best way we can. So anyway, hope that answers your question, buddy.
That really. I just couldn't believe that was true. But that explains it good. Okay, thank you.
Have a great day, buddy.
Hey, Daryl.
Yeah.
Hey, you got any road trip stories, or what's the longest road trip that you've taken?
Not very long. I don't take road trips very much.
He's probably like me, gets in that plane flying.
Well, I was going to say, would you fly before you drove somewhere a long ways away?
I would like to. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, would rather fly than drive.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Very good. Well, thank you very much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day.
Okay. He's like me, getting that plane, Josh. Yeah. 24 hours to get a boat. I make services to do that. I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Okay.
I do know that now.
All right. Is running through your car. Oh, I missed one. James Furman. For a trip, I was the one driving would be to Lucas Oil Speedway. Yeah.
Oh, if he was going to drive, he'd
go to Lucas Oil Speedway. And the thing about Lucas Oil Speedway, there's only one way in, one way out of that place.
Yeah.
And that last, I don't know, probably hour or so getting into Lucas, it is a fun drive without a trailer on. I will tell you that. It's no fun with a trailer on behind that thing. It's just up and down and winding around to get in, or not much fun, but it is that's one of the better racing facilities. I can tell you that for that. Too.
What surprises me is there's nowhere, like, not a whole lot of businesses around that thing.
No.
I'm really surprised that they haven't done like a hotel complex or something. Of course, I, you know, every other time of the year, maybe not a whole lot going on down there.
It could be. I'm not sure. That's a great question.
It is a nice facility, that's for sure.
Yeah. So is running through your car wash part of the works package? If you ask us that you want to get it rinsed off or whatever, we will gladly drive it through. Every customer goes through Quick Lane. Yeah, we can't get 100%, but we sure would like to.
But we do
as many as we possibly can. So just pre-plan for that or whatever. And yes, we can take and run it through there part of the works package. That's why we did it. It's just kind of we didn't do this to the pub. This car wash is not available to the public. It's just available to our customers that come through Quick Lane or bought a car from us or whatever from that part. So, Greg, I hope that answers your question on that, too. So, hey, 316-462-3673. Oh, keep your hands down, Josh.
Keep
your hands down. Keep leaning up forward.
Already got a text once.
Did you get one? Those you don't know, Gus is our IT guy, and he's really helped us with this virtual background and keeping us up to date and from that part. So, He likes to reprimand us for our little things we do wrong. I feel like I got to put a bib on. I mean, to lean forward close enough. You think that's okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Anyway, hey, everybody. Hey, we'd like to hear from you. 316-462-3673. Anything on your car? If you want to talk about your longest road trip, whatever. Hey, Jordan Whitehead's coming up. Wonder what he's got on his mind. This ought to be good. I think we probably might get a little bit of entertainment.
You think so?
I don't know. We're about to find out here in just a minute, right? So we'll get Jordan on the phone here. Let's see what's on Jordan's mind here this morning. This ought to be real nice, Clark, from that part. So, oop, now what's going on? Come on, Jordan. Let's see what Jordan's mind. Jordan Whitehead has a catering business, has a fence business, has all kinds of things he does with us but from that part. So let's see what's on Jordan's mind here this morning. I'm sure he's got some words of wisdom. And Jordan, you're live with Under the Hood. What's up?
What's up, guys? How we doing today?
Well, we're kind of questioning before you got on the line here. Are you going to give us some words of wisdom? Are you going to give us some advice? Are you going to just tell us a story?
you know what we're going to do? I feel like your listeners need to get to know you guys better. And I learned this move from the legendary Ellie Nightingale.
Oh, no.
So what we're going to do, we're going to do a quiz.
Oh, no.
And I'll answer two.
Oh.
That's fair. But we're going to do a 3 to 4 question quiz so that the listeners out there can get to know the legends, Josh Prophet and Mr. Phil Nightingale, the Ham Slambo, better.
Okay. And you're going to answer the same question. Is that what you're saying?
I will if I need to.
Oh, if you need to.
If you want me to, I will.
Yeah. Fair game here.
That's fair game. Okay. We'll start easy. The first question, perfect vacation, mountains or beach?
Beach.
Ooh.
I love to ski though too, but and that kind of thing. I love to ski. Love it. I love to go fast. I got in a lot of trouble skiing too fast a lot of times too.
Yeah. I don't know. That one's hard. I'm 50-50 honestly.
50-50. Yeah. I'm right now. If I had to choose right now today where I'd want to go right now, beach. Okay.
Yeah. I go beach too.
All right, next question.
Next question from Ellie Nightingale. I learned this one from her. Who was your high school prom date, and do you still talk to her?
Well, that's my wife, and I'm still married to her.
Same here.
Nice.
Hey, how about that? How about you, Jordan?
I don't, and that's court ordered. So.
I was going to say, it is my wife, and sometimes we talk.
Okay.
All right. You cannot place monetary value on this question because the answer would be sell one and buy the other. Aircraft of your choice or any sports car of your choice?
What of your choice? What was the first one?
Aircraft.
No, airplane.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to shoot because I like to fly around with Josh, so I got to talk about that.
Well, you get the car, I'll get the plane.
Okay, you take the plane. Car, there's nothing better. I'm telling you guys, I've drove everything in the world. From the Ferraris, the Mercedes, Lambos, everything else in the world, and there's nothing funner. I mean, absolutely nothing funner than my GT500. And yeah, I don't drive it enough. I know Jake's probably ripping on me the other side because I don't have it out and run around with it or whatever. But there's still nothing better. I got to drive in a Corvette, a newer Corvette this week. And I got in and out of that thing and got there, drove it probably 15 miles and got out of it. And I said exactly the same thing. Give me my 500. Okay, Josh.
Right. The new Corvettes really have a European styling to them, I noticed. I saw one at the intersection the other day and I thought it was like a Ferrari or a Lambo or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's some fat. Wow. When did they do that?
Yeah. This was a 22 that I was in. Okay, Josh.
Nice.
Yeah. So, if no monetary value and everybody else is paying for everything, it'd probably be a Gulfstream on a jet. Yeah.
Okay, Jordan, what do you got? A Corolla or something?
I'd have to go aircraft. Aircraft, private jet. I've always wanted to have one of those, and I think if there was no monetary value in place, I could probably make that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. This may get you in a little bit of trouble. I think we know where we're going here. Drag racing or circle track racing?
This is for me personally?
All three of us.
Yeah, so I'd be circle track. Yeah.
What do you prefer? What do you prefer?
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying?
Yeah. Are you watching it? Are you driving it? What are you doing?
To participate in. How about that?
You're the driver.
So you said the driver. Drag or circle?
Yeah, drag race or circle track.
Oh, I'm drag all over.
Drag?
Yeah. Now, I tried to get Jake to go drag racing, but he wouldn't do it.
Really?
But don't get me wrong. I love circle track racing too and everything else too from that part. But my favorite is drag racing. I'm so much because I love that throw you back in the seat, get the reaction time done, get that speed going.
Yeah. I'd say circle track. And the reason I guess I'm saying is I'm not knocking drag racing by any means, but aside from elapsed time, you know,
yeah, there's more seat time in a circle track.
Yeah, there's just more, I think, more to the driver in dirt track racing.
Okay, so I'm going to go another step with you. So I went out to North Carolina and got to drive the GT500s with professional drivers, and I learned so much driving that car and everything else too. But we first started off and we dragged them, the drag strips on out there at the in North Carolina at God dang, what's the name of that track?
Charlotte.
And you know, learning some more things about the car, and I learned a lot there on how to more be better at drag racing and stuff too. Then we went to their Roval course and drove that, and that's fun. I was out of shape. I couldn't do much too long. I had to catch my breath a couple times and everything else too, because it is hard to drive one of those cars from that part. Now, was that fun? Yeah, but I mean, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I would road course a car.
Now, see, here's the problem with road course. In my opinion on road course, and there's so many turns, so many breakings, so many things, and you can mess up so easy.
It's the perfect lap, right? Like that's what you're
Ford
chasing.
Ford versus Ferrari, yeah, chasing that precious lap. Okay, Jordan, what's yours? I know his answer.
Honestly, I'm going to surprise you with this. I would actually go drag racing. I spent years and years circle track racing, but in my older age, I think it's cleaner. There's less damage to the vehicle. And yeah, you definitely get the adrenaline rush, but that pin you back in the seat. And then you can relax and, you know, not have dirt in your hair and your beard and everything after you're done. I would probably, if I was going to go racing today, I'd go drag racing.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
Very good.
Next question.
I think that's all I got for you. I said 3 to 4 questions. I think that's pretty good.
I got one more. I got one now.
Come at me. I'm ready.
Josh, are you ready for this question?
Let's do it.
Do you Bluetooth or do you use an aux cord?
I don't connect to any exterior devices at all.
All right, a little inside joke there. So now we all know where I use the cord plugged right in the truck sometimes because I need to charge my phone, but I do Bluetooth. Jordan, what's your answer?
No, at 100% aux cord. I'm old school auxiliary cord. And then even with the auxiliary cord, I cut it up with a pair of scissors when I'm done. So there's no evidence.
Okay. So, hey, hold on. We got a comment here. I think that's pretty good for you. The real answer for Jordan is he prefers the RuPaul's drag race.
Nice. Who's that from?
I can't tell you.
Oh, that was my fault.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you who that was. So that was pretty good, though. I will tell you. Pretty good. So anyway, we're working on it. So, great questions, Jordan. That was fun. That was great from that part. So
sorry, guys. I've got both of y'all here. So, Greg, I've got Jordan on here with us, and then Jordan, I have Greg on here with us as well. I sent you too soon. I apologize. So, but yeah. So now I've got both of y'all there. So,
yeah, I'm here.
Jordan, you still there?
I'm here, buddy.
Perfect. All right, look at that. More technology going on. We know what to do with.
Just like that. So, well, Jordan, thank you very much for the call. It was great having the questions as well. So,
well, you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good, buddy. Thanks, Jordan. All right.
Bye.
All right. Now let's go to Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
Greg, sorry about that, buddy. A little technical. I shouldn't say technical difficulty. It's too much technology for us to handle. You wouldn't think that would be there.
No stress at all. Sounds like you guys had it on a roll.
Well, we're trying to have some fun, you know.
I was sorry about making you wait there, and then they sent you through when I sent the text, and but anyways, yeah, we've got you. So anyway,
I actually called about a couple of things. First off, did you guys see the EPA decided to roll back their requirements into the future just a little bit?
No, really, they finally listened to me.
Positive. Yeah, that's. I figured you would be aware of that, Phil.
Well, I hear you. I follow a lot of stuff and everything else too, but I did not see that. So tell us what they decided to do.
Well, they just it is a little bit less ambitious numbers going forward. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but we'll just say we can probably have a few more gas trucks in the future and don't have to have a 80% electric fleet.
Well, I agree with, you know, I think that I'm going to tell you that the electric car has a market too. There is a certain customer that wants that car, everything else like that. Right now we had a XLT Lightning traded back in. And so I said, you know, I'm going to drive it. I drove one here about a year or so ago, but I'm in this XLT, and I'm going to tell you, for me, you know, it's about 15 miles one way to work. And I'm charging that thing once a week. It's on the charger back there right now, but I've drove it all week and haven't put it on the charger at all. So, I mean, there's a niche market for that EV, and I understand that part. There's still that range anxiety and all that kind of stuff going along with that situation, but I'm still an ICE fan all over from that part. But,
well, and there's no way that Josh could have made that trip out to LA to pick up a boat.
No.
In 36, 48 hours.
No way.
Wouldn't happen. So no. I didn't know if you'd seen that. So that was the first thing I was going
to talk about. I'm going to have to go do some research and see what they did or whatever. But it's still my comment and my stat about this is I understand why CAFE rating is there. Because the emissions coming out the tailpipe, and years ago that was so bad what was coming out these tailpipes. I remember when I was in Votec school and we put the four gas analyzer in my truck, and you know, I fine tuned the carburetor to get as many low emissions and NOx and everything coming out of that tailpipe, but it still had a bunch of junk coming out that tailpipe. But now today is with the technology we have and all the sensors and how precise we can do these fuel mixtures today. It should be coming back to not how many miles per gallon you can provide, is what are you providing coming out the tailpipe and making sure that that's being the emissions. Cause that's what we're worried about. We're worried about emissions. We're not worried about how much fuel we're burning, but I get it. The more fuel you're burning, the more emissions you're putting out in the tailpipe. But again, if the emissions are so clean like they are today, the CAFE rating needs to be really adjusted. I think they need to go back and re-rate it to the emissions coming out the tailpipe. My opinion, you know what?
Well, And the big deal is trucks are so much better. I mean, I had a 78 short wide with a 250 inline six and a three on the tree. And you're right. You start that truck, you'd smell gas.
Yeah.
I mean, even when it was running really, really good, it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Compared to the King Ranch Power Boost I have. It's a big difference.
It's a huge difference. So, you know, that old short wide was probably getting you 10, 11 miles a gallon. You're probably getting in, you know, high teens in that truck.
Oh, I get mid-20s in the truck.
It's okay, there you go.
Drive.
Yeah.
I mean,
you must be
as long as I'm not towing anything.
Yeah, as long as you're not towing anything.
As long as I'm not towing it.
I was a little leaning on that number, depending on how you drive and all that kind of stuff, too. Now, I can tell you that if I take a Power Boost and really try hard, and drive it nicely, drive it easy, everything else like that, in town, I can get 30 out of that truck. But again, I'm driving it nice, I'm driving it easy, watching the stoplights, letting off the gas like you need to, all that kind of stuff, and really cautiously doing that. And that is one thing that Josh has said this before, these trip modometers and things inside the car, now they make you, when you get in one of those kind of vehicles, it makes you want to do that. At that time, it's not always for me. Sometimes I got to get where I need to get, but I can. I can get 30 miles a gallon out of a Power Boost. I can. I've done it from that part.
Agreed. We just went down to Galveston for spring break, hopped on a cruise ship. But on the trip in the truck, clear down to Galveston, we were getting mid-20s.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was, we're moving. It's not, I'm not going to talk about how fast we went, but we were moving.
Okay. We don't care. We won't write you any tickets.
It does pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, then, okay, to tie into the second thing that I want to talk about, because you guys were asking about road trips, and somebody wrote about driving a Taurus FHO, and long time ago, after they lifted the national speed limit thing, anyway, Montana did change their speed limit to reasonable and prudent during daylight hours. And I was a college kid, and I wanted to go camping up there anyway, so I went up to Glacier National Park, and at the time I had a 93 Ford Taurus. I think it was a 93. Might have been a 92, but they came with 3.0s or 3.8s, and I had the bigger motor. I had the 3.8. Oh, man. And just to get out there, I'm like, we can go as fast as we want to go, and literally on the interstate.
And
I don't know. The speedometer on those didn't go all the way up. The car and driver said that car went 119, so I'll kind of believe it. We were moving.
But well, that's cool.
It was a little crazy to get passed by a Toyota Previa.
Yeah.
Like I thought I was moving, and then here comes this, you know, curl Previa mid engine, whatever, and it goes by me. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's no fun.
Anyway, yeah. Road trips. Yeah, I don't know. It just made me think of it.
I can get some more stories going if we weren't on the air, but I got to be careful here for some of the road trips I used to do too. So,
well, very good. Yeah, very good story.
Yeah. Anyway, Greg, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it very much. Keep watching, keep listening, keep calling. We'll love to hear from you, buddy.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Have a great day, man. You know, I just thought of another story. I got to get in real quick before we got to go here. Was I got invited one day to go down and help a buddy of mine. I can't put names out there. I'll be in trouble. To go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And basically he was trading an engine for some other parts, kind of a swap kind of a deal. But there's so many of us going, we had to take a second car. Okay. Because everyone wouldn't fit in the truck. So naturally I got in the car. He got in the truck with his buddies. I got my buddies and we're going. This was one of those Impala SSs.
Oh yeah.
That we'd already tuned, put a different gear in it, all that kind of stuff. So we're coming out of Oklahoma in those toll booths, Noah. And we're sitting there and we notice something's going on in front of us. The truck's in front of us and they take off. We get up there and the gal is holding me.
Oh, won't let you go.
Won't let me go. They tipped her to hold me. Okay.
It's on now.
Yeah, it's on. So anyway, we had walkie talkies between the two cars back then, no phones or nothing back in that part. And so I got on the walkie talkie and I said, are we clear? And he said, yeah, we're clear. And I took off. And it was over 150 when we were flying down through that Tulsa. Coming out of Tulsa. You know, those roads aren't that good either.
Yeah, no, not on that Cimarron Turnpike.
I went flying by them in that truck. You know, what's really stupid about that is if I'd have hit something, done whatever, it's over.
Yeah.
But it was fun when it was happening. It's fun when it was happening. Hey, everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the great questions, comments, all the good stuff. It's always fun to get on here Saturday morning, 9 to 10, to talk to you guys, listen to every comment and stuff. Jordan, thanks for the great questions. That was awesome. That was great, too. Thanks for all the great callers. BG Products, thanks for the great partnership here at Mel Hamilton Ford, all the great things you do with us and we do with you. Huge sponsor coming up, too, Josh, with Salt City Racing. They've become partners with us at Salt City Racing too. We're going to do a lot of exciting stuff with them over there at the racetrack. So BG Products, if you're not using them in your cars, you're taking a lot of life out of your car. Big Corner Karate for all your advertising needs. Hey, you have a company needs anything from advertising, websites, designs, vehicle wraps, window tint, anything to advertise your business. As Jesse and that great clan over there says, just Google us. Then also Go to Rent. Hey, we got a great fleet of vehicles inside here at Mel Hamilton Ford. If you're looking for something for spring breaks, I think maybe that's over with, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
holidays are coming. Summer's coming. Got a great fleet of 12 and 15 passenger vans. Just got about 10 brand new vans in. Finally, for 3 years, we've not got a new van, but now we got some new vans over there too. So if you need something, give Santa a call right inside here at Mel Hamilton Ford. Hey, everybody, have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you next Saturday, 9 o'clock.